All right, welcome, welcome. Happy Mother's Day. I actually volunteered to do this. He didn't like force me to do that. So don't think that he's like forcing me to get up here. I actually volunteered to do it. About the picture came up 11 years ago was my first time that I did this, and it came up just a couple days ago. So I volunteered 11 years ago, and I haven't got myself out of it yet. So it's my honor to be able to share with you once again this year. I missed last year as being a mom and driving home with Eliza from Missouri last year. So I missed last year, but I'm excited to be back with you again this year. In the past, I've typically just preached to the moms in the room, but today I'm going to preach and share to parents, grandparents, teachers, youth leaders, anybody who has the opportunity to help a young person develop spiritually. So I would say that's about 100% of you. So everybody tune in today. So let's pray as I begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share, and I just pray that you would just be with me today and be with those in this room, open up our hearts and our ears to hear from you, and Lord, just give me the words and to your thoughts today as we just open your word, and we just give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of the message I'm going to be speaking to parents, but just know it applies to anybody in the room because you all can be, as my title says, unsung heroes. And so we're going to learn about what that means. So as I start to think each year about what to preach, I find it to be a little intimidating because I have the whole Bible to choose from. I'm not in a book of the Bible like my husband. I have the whole Bible to open up and say, what, Lord, do you want me to preach this year? And so as I came into the last couple of months, I knew it was coming up. I know it comes up every year, the same time, second Sunday of every May. So I start thinking about it. I felt the Lord bring a couple of things to my attention. The first was a reel on Instagram. And for those of my generation and older, a reel is a video clip. So I was watching a video clip on Instagram, and it was a young man, a young boy, who was preaching a message, but he was preaching about the importance of parents and moms and dads in a spiritual foundation. It got me thinking, and it got me just my brain moving in the direction of parents, of people like Moses and David, Jesus, and how important they were in the lives of their children. How important my parents were in my own life. The second thing I felt the Lord used to get my attention was a song lyric. And it said, what if God is doing something brand new? There are other people coming with you. The last line of that, there are other people coming with you, has stuck with me for however long I've just heard that song, about 3 or 4 weeks. I cannot get it out of my head. There are other people coming with me on my journey. It's not just me. It's not just you. There are other people that are joining you on the journey. My daughters, my husband, other people, this church, they're all joining me on this journey. So it is my responsibility that when I make choices, I make decisions, I have to understand they're not just affecting me, but affecting my children and my husband, because they're traveling down this road with me. As parents, we're leading our children down certain roads with decisions that we make each and every day. Can you think of anyone that in the world that has more potential for positive influence on a child than our parents do? They're with them 24/7. A lot of times, a parent creates a close bond with their children that will last a lifetime. A parent has the opportunity, like Timothy's mother and grandmother, to plant the seeds of faith in a child that God can grow. A parent is usually the first person to bring a child to church, to read the Bible with them, to pray with them. Statistics tell us that the majority of people who have faith in their lives came to faith as a child. Do not think that raising a child and instilling godly values is unimportant. Parents of faith, you make a difference. Grandparents of faith, you make a difference. Aunts and uncles of faith, you make a difference. Yes. Teachers with faith, you make a difference. Yes. You are the unsung heroes in our children's faith. You lay a foundation that God can build upon. Think about great men and women of faith that we read in the Bible, King David and Moses and Abraham, and more modern day, Billy Graham, William J. Seymour, who was part of our denomination's founding, Priscilla Shire, even more recent, or Stephen Furtick. These are our modern day people of faith. Many of these have parents and grandparents who laid a spiritual foundation in their lives. Their parents helped to propel them to the calling that God had on their lives. But if I asked you the name of Billy Graham's parents, you probably wouldn't be able to tell me their names. If I asked you the names of Stephen Furtick's parents, you probably wouldn't know them. Their names are Larry and Faith, by the way. They're not household names, but they were no less important than Billy or William or Priscilla or Moses or David. I would say that they're even more important. I'm sure if you were able to talk to any of these people, they would say that their parents laid a strong biblical foundation that made a huge difference in their lives. Once again, let me repeat, parents and grandparents, teachers, leaders of faith, you make a difference. You can be an unsung hero in your children or grandchildren's life, in any child's life that you come in contact, and establish a spiritual foundation. So today we're going to look at the characteristics of an unsung hero of faith. So get your capes on, because we're going to be heroes today. To do this, we're going to look at the story of two unsung heroes of the Bible, Moses' parents. They are names not known by many. And thanks to my husband, you now know their names. Amram and Jochebed. They were not only parents to Moses, but to Aaron and Miriam. And their story is told in Exodus 2, 1 through 10. But they are also mentioned in Exodus 6:20 and Numbers 26:59. And we're going to spend some time leaning into Amram and Jochebed's story and the choices that they made that made them unsung heroes. So let's dive in. Exodus 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son." Well, that could be any man or woman in the Bible, right? That's a lot of people. That describes a lot of people in the Bible. But we know their names because the rest of the story tells us it is about the birth of Moses. And Exodus 6:20 gives us a little bit more details. It says, "Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses, and Amram lived 137 years. Now, we don't have time to talk about that father-sister connection, but it shows here that Moses' parents were Amram and Jochebed, and they were also the parents of Aaron. Numbers 26:59 also shares that they had a sister, Miriam. It says, "The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister, Miriam." Both Amram and Jochebed were part of the Israelites, God's chosen special people. They were also members of the tribe of Levi, from which would come the priests, the people who would take care of the tabernacle and the temple. Amram and Jochebed were living in Egypt during a very dark time, and they were now faced with a dilemma. And to understand their dilemma, I have to rewind a little bit and go back in the story and remind you how the Israelites got to Egypt. Back in Genesis, we read the story of Joseph, an Israelite sold into slavery by his brothers. Another story for another time. He ended up in Egypt, and by God's grace and favor and plan, he was prompted and promoted to second in command, and he saved his nation. He saved his 11 brothers and 70 of their family members from starving to death. His Israelite family moved to Egypt to avoid the famine, and ended up multiplying from 70 to 1 million people over the next several hundred years. At that time, the time of Amram and Jochebed, Joseph is a very distant memory, and a new pharaoh has come into position. And he became very intimidated by the great number of Israelites living in his land. He feared that they would rise up against him if another king came and tried to attack them, that they would join with that other king. So he decided to do something about it. His first strategy was to oppress the Israelites, to be cruel to them with forced labor. We read about this in Exodus, the first chapter, in verses 11 through 14. It says, "So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly." They lived in a time of intense oppression and lack of freedom. However, notice verse 12. The more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. So Pharaoh's first strategy, it didn't work. So he came up with two more. His second strategy was to have the Hebrew midwives kill the newborn boys at birth. We continue in verse 15. It says, "The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, 'When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live.'" Wow, can you imagine? They were trying to kill babies based on their gender to stop the Israelites from multiplying. The midwives could have easily told the mothers that their baby had died during childbirth because there was a high infant mortality rate at that time, but God had other plans. Let's look at the next verses. It says, the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. I love that line. Go, girls. At this point, Pharaoh could have killed these midwives and found other women who would do his bidding. But once again, God steps in, and look what it says in verse 20. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Isn't that amazing? God is so good and faithful. He rewarded the midwives for their honesty and integrity, for standing up for him. He had a plan for these people, and not even a Pharaoh was going to stop it. Well, Pharaoh wasn't finished yet. He had one more strategy up his sleeve. Pharaoh, it says in verse 22, Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. How tragic. Boy babies were to be killed. Girls would live. This is the culture in which Amram and Jochebed now live. They and their fellow Israelites are living in a foreign land and being oppressed by the Egyptians. Baby boys are being thrown in the Nile as soon as they're born. It's nearly too painful to picture the horror of a newborn baby being thrown into the river to drown, no exceptions, no hope. Imagine being a Hebrew mother waiting the day of your child's birth, knowing that a girl would live, probably a life of servitude and slavery, and a boy would be killed. It was into this dark world that Jochebed, a mother of Miriam already, probably around 15 years old, and Aaron, 3 years old, has just given birth to her third child, a son. This is the dilemma we find Amram and Jochebed living with. Do they obey the Pharaoh's order, or do they obey God and not kill a living, breathing baby? Let's continue with the story and go back to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son when she saw that he was a fine child. Stop there for a moment. Jochebed had given birth to a son, and not just any son. Notice it says he was a fine child. Some translations say that he was a beautiful child. Others say he was a special baby. Acts 7 even mentions it. Acts 7, verse 20 says, at the time Moses was born, he was no ordinary child. So there was something about him that made him special, that made him stand out. Let's look back again at verse 2. It says, when she saw that he was a fine child. That word saw in the Hebrew is not just looking at her and saying, oh, he's really handsome. It's nothing like that. It's more deeper. It indicates something more complex. Jochebed had a deeper perception, possibly a vision about the child she had just given birth to. It was something more than just looking upon her precious child in adoration. When Jochebed saw Moses, she understood by faith that he was special. Yes. She was given a divine insight about her baby boy. She had a decision now to make, a choice to make in this situation. Does she obey the Pharaoh, or does she obey the God who says not to take a life and has delivered this divine vision to her of this boy's future? Let's read the rest of the story to find out. Starting in verse 2 again, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. She made a choice. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds among the bank of the Nile. Jochebed and Amram decided to obey God and not kill their child. What courage and bravery it must have taken to go against the Pharaoh's orders. Let's look at what happens next. In verse 4, it says, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Thank goodness it was the princess that found this little mini ark. It could have been Pharaoh because he was known to go and bathe along the Nile, but the princess and her slaves found it. It was another part of this miraculous story that she was the one to be there that day. Another unsung hero, I think, in Moses' story is his sister Miriam, as she shows great bravery in the next part of the story when she boldly approaches the princess. Let's read it. Verse 7, "Then a sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' She could have revealed in that instant that it was her mom, but she didn't. 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" What an incredible story of faith and miracles and unsung heroes. Amram and Jochebed were able to save the life of their son. Their names might not be household names like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, or David. We know those names well, and they are some of the names listed in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. But Amram and Jochebed are unsung heroes. Without them, Moses would not have lived and been the leader of Exodus. Unsung heroes are important to God. They may not be so well known, but their work is no less significant to God. Moses' mother, father, and sister all acted in faith. They were the true heroes of Moses' story. Without their act of faith, we would not know the name of Moses and his amazing story. This story, it really makes me want to be an unsung hero in my children's lives. I want to live in such a way as to propel my children forward into the future God has called for them. Because where I go, I am taking them with me. There is someone coming with me. When I do something, they're feeling the ripples of my choices and decisions. Just like Moses' life was affected by his parents' decisions, my children's lives are affected by my decisions. So how can I be an unsung hero in my children's lives and in my future grandchildren's lives? Well, from Amram and Jochebed's story, I want us to look at three characteristics of an unsung hero. So let's take a look. First, an unsung hero is someone who has the courage to stand for God. In this dark world, Amram and Jochebed made a decision. They hid him for 3 months. They knew the decree that Pharaoh had made. They knew that their baby's life would be forfeited if they didn't do something to save him. And they knew their own lives were online if they disobeyed. They could be put in prison. They could be killed for disobeying this order. Amram could suffer even harsher treatment in the fields and in the brick fields. But the decree just went against everything basically humane, moral, and right, everything that they knew about God. And it went against the divine insight that God had given to Jochebed, that this baby was special, that he was a fine child. He had a purpose. There was a reason he gave her that insight. This insight gave her and Amram the courage and strength to resist the command to take his life and instead hide him for 3 months. And because Amram and Jochebed feared God more than man, they made a decision that, though it put them in great jeopardy, proved to be the decision that saved a nation. For 3 months, Moses' parents, Jochebed and Amram, along with Miriam and Aaron, hid Moses. The whole family kept the secret for 3 months. Can you imagine keeping that secret for 3 months? In their home until they couldn't do it anymore. They knew by faith the future of God's people was with this special child, but they chose to be courageous and obey God and not kill this child. In doing so, they saved the life of Israel's future lawgiver and leader of the Exodus. Their courage to go against the king's order and stand for God is something that all of us parents need to be ready to do in our own lives. Yes. Amram and Jochebed refused to go against with the flow. They refused to consider their own life, their own comfort, their convenience, even their own safety. They refused to bow to Egypt's demands. When something in our culture goes against God and his word, being an unsung hero means as parents, we have to have the courage to go against the flow of culture, to stand up for God's word and his truth, to tell our children the truth of God's word and what God says considering all aspects of our lives, from relationships to identity, to sexuality, to money, career, family, and marriage, all areas of life. Especially in the culture and time we are living in. Yes. If we are not talking to our children about what is right and wrong according to God's word, somebody else is and will. We need to be the ones talking to our children. Our voices of truth need to be louder than the voices of our culture and our media. Yes. Josh and I must be the ones reinforcing at home what is said in church and is in the Bible. We must be the ones talking to them about what God says about who you are to marry, about what you are to do about loving others, about forgiving others, how to handle your finances God's way, how to serve God, the importance of church and the church family. All of that needs to be coming from Josh and I. We need to be modeling God's way of living to them so that they have an example to follow, because they are the ones coming with us and following along. God is looking for a mom or a dad, a grandparent, a teacher, someone that has the courage to say, we're going to do this God's way.
Yes.
Not the world's way or Hollywood's way or social media's way, but God's way. Do we as parents have the courage to stand up for God and truth and be an unsung hero in our child's life? Because that's what they need. They need someone to stand up for truth and for God in their life. So an unsung hero is someone who has the courage to stand for God. An unsung hero is also someone who has the courage to release their children into God's hands. In verse 3, it says that when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Amram and Jochebed are seen here releasing their child into God's hands. When Jochebed could no longer hide him, she got crafty. She took a papyrus basket, coated it with tar and pitch, basically making a mini ark for him. She made a plan and used the resources she had. She placed the basket among the reeds on the bank of the Nile River, the same place where she had been commanded to throw her baby in to die. She placed this basket. She knew Moses had a special destiny, so to give him a chance at that life, Jochebed and Amram had to let their infant son go. Can you imagine the feelings she must have been dealing with? Sorrow and fear mixed with faith and anticipation. Would God come through and fulfill the vision he had given her for Moses? Would the crocodiles in the Nile get her son? I'm sure that Jochebed probably thought she'd never see her son again, but she still released her child into God's hands. As parents, we are called to release our children into God's hands. Although we would love to keep them sheltered and safe and within the four walls of our homes, at some point we have to allow them to come out of our homes and enter the world into where we live. It's not easy, and many prayers are said day after day, month after month, year after year, that the Lord would protect and guide our children to the right path. Amen?
Amen.
The first memory that I have of doing this as a parent was when my four-year-old child got on that big yellow school bus. Mama had lots of tears, but my little one was all smiles and so excited. I had to let her go so that she could grow and become educated. Jochebed and Amram have faith in God's protection of their baby. Only because they trusted the Lord could they abandon their son rather than see him killed. They believed that God would take care of their child. In the midst of dire circumstances, Amram and Jochebed fully entrusted their child to God's safekeeping. They let go and let God. I have to have the same faith as I let my children go. I have to believe that God will take care of my child, my children, my daughters. I have to trust that the teaching, the training, the modeling I've done for the last 18 years will be good enough foundation for them to stand on. Do you as parents have the courage to release your child to God's hands? To be an unsung hero, that is a critical step. We have to trust God with their lives. Our parents did that for us. Now we have to do that for them. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual process. Remember, Amram and Jochebed had to let him go again later on in the story. After she released him, the princess found him. His sister got him back into their homes, and she was able to take care of him for the first few of his life. However, once she weaned him, she had to return him to Pharaoh's home. Look at verse 10. It says, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Notice she took him. She had to take him back. Can you imagine this time around had to be just as hard, if not even harder than the first time, because now they knew the child. They knew his dislikes, his likes, his personality, what made him laugh, what made him cry. They knew everything about him, yet they had to return him to Pharaoh's daughter. Releasing and letting go is a lifelong process. It's the first day of middle school, first day of high school, first day they drive away by themselves in a car by themselves. It's their first job, their first date, first prom. When they get married, when they move out, it's all moments that I have to release my children and allow them to take steps on their life's journey. Recently, I had to do it all over again as my older two daughters left for college in other states, one of them 20 hours away. My mama heart wants to keep them with me forever, but I know to fulfill the destiny that God has for their lives, I must release them and let them go. Amen. There are moments when my child is hurting or has made a bad decision or not succeeding or is dealing with an illness or a disease that I can't help and I can't control. My heart and nature want to jump in and help at any sign of trouble, hurt, or disappointment. But God is teaching me to release them in a new way at this stage of their lives. At 3 years old, moms were the superhero moms. We can take care of the boo-boos and the bad guys and the bad dreams, and we are the superhero moms. Help with homework, help with projects. But as they enter into adulthood, I can't rush in and save them anymore. They have to learn to stand on their own two feet and mature and grow into the women God has called them to be. That means letting go again and again and again. But that throughout the whole process, I can release them because I'm entrusting them into God's hands. Not just to big bad world out there. I'm entrusting them to the Father who loves them, who created them, and he has a plan bigger for them than I could ever imagine. So I'm not just entrusting them to just the world, but to God. So the unsung hero is someone who has the courage to stand for God and has the courage to release their child into God's hands. That leads me to the last characteristic of the unsung hero. An unsung hero is someone who has the courage to rely on God for the results. You know, God was able to work in this situation as a result of Amram and Jochebed's faith in him. As children were being murdered around them each day, they simply said, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this or what you have planned in all of this, but we trust you. Here is our son. We entrust him to you. In Hebrews 11:23, it says that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith. If we want God to work in our lives and our families, we must place our faith in him. Yes. We must put our faith into action. Yes. God will not and cannot work in our lives without our placing our trust in him. Yes. It says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists by faith and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We must have faith in God. We must trust God. We must put our trust that he has the best plan for them. God honored Jochebed and Amram's faith and obedience. They gave up what they could not keep, and they received back more than what they gave. Let's look back again at verses 5 through 9. It says, Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then a sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. The woman they're talking about is Jochebed. Jochebed got to accept and receive her son back into her life and get paid to do it. It's amazing. It's awesome. It was no accident that when Pharaoh's daughter saw the beautiful baby boy and heard his cry that she had compassion on him. It was God's sovereign providence that caused Pharaoh's daughter to save Moses and to ask Jochebed to nurse the child for that given wage. Not only was the infant saved, but she was paid to care for him until he was weaned, which was probably about 3 years. So she got extra income for about 3 years of her life. She got extra time with Moses. Can you imagine the rejoicing, the laughter, maybe even the dancing that must have happened in Moses' home that night when the baby was brought back into their home? Safe, no more under the death sentence. His life was now safe. His future was now secure. The faith and courage of these parents put them in place to be ready for the miracle God delivered. Sometimes God is asking us to act in a way that may seem strange to the world around us. If we are proceeding in God's will, then we can trust his guidance as modeled by Moses' parents. They trusted God, and they received back when they let go. They were so confident in the favor of God on their son that they were not afraid of the king's edict. When we release a situation to God and rely on him for the results, we find ourselves in a beautiful place of resting securely in the knowledge that God has the situation firmly in his hands. But we have to release it and let it go and put our trust in him for the results. God always rewards obedient faith. He is looking for those of us who will entrust our child, our children, a situation, a relationship, our career, our finances, whatever we need to surrender to him. He's looking for those people who are willing to put it in his hands. When we take our hands off the situation and we allow him to work in the way he wants to work, then we'll see the results of our faith. The results of their faith, they were given back their son to raise. Amram and Jochebed had a chance to raise him for the first few years of his life to instill a godly foundation for Moses. Think of the wisdom and the knowledge that they poured into this young child, firmly rooting him in the ways and traditions of the and beliefs of the Hebrew people. They were the chief influencers that God used during his early formative years in preparing Moses for the grand calling that God had him to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. The spiritual foundation they laid during the son's most formative years would make all the difference decades later as Moses struggled with, but then ultimately followed God's calling on his life. His parents' love, faith, and courage in saving him from a cruel, watery death and living a godly life before him had a profound influence on Moses, as evidenced in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." His parents' impact is seen in these verses as he chose to live as an Israelite when he could have lived in the palace. But even though Moses had this amazing start to his life and then was raised in the palace with the best education in the world, Moses didn't do everything perfect during his lifetime. He ended up murdering someone and then running to the wilderness where he lived for several decades before having that burning bush experience. Even when you give a child a great spiritual foundation, they will still make their own choices and decisions. Releasing them means letting them make their own choices, their own decisions, and living with the consequences of those decisions. However, the choices they make may not always be what I want or desire for them. Some choices we will applaud. Other choices they make we'll weep tears over. Some decisions they will make will bring us to our knees in prayer. Other decisions they make, we will stand up and say, "That's my kid." They're human, after all, and we'll never do life perfectly. We don't do life perfectly. But we trust in the promise of this verse in Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Amen. I do my part. I teach them the word of God. I pray with them. I take them to church and youth group. I discuss the scriptures with them. I model a life of faith for them. Then I rely on God for the results. Yes. I'm releasing my expectations of how their life is going to go. I'm trusting God's path and God's plan for their lives because he loves them even more than I do. So I can trust that even in tough situations, he has the best intentions for them, and he can make all things work together for good to those who are loved and called according to his purpose. I'm trusting that even when the path is not straight for them or they take a detour, or maybe even get off the path of faith entirely for a time, that God will honor his promise, and even when they are old, they will not turn from his ways. They may be gray-haired when they finally surrender, but God will be faithful to his, keep his promise. So if you're holding out for a child who has wandered away, don't give up hope. God will keep his promise. He will be faithful. I'm sure during this time of his growing up in the palace and of running away to the wilderness, his parents continued to pray for him and influence him when they had a chance. They probably never imagined that it would take almost 80 years before Moses would fulfill his destiny of leading the Israelites to freedom. Oh, he tried to do it sooner, but God had other plans. The knowledge that God had given her when he was born had to have helped her remain faithful to trust that God would protect and prepare this child for the big things he had planned for him in the years to come. But the impact of Amram and Jochebed lived on in his life and helped him to eventually say yes to the destiny that God had called him to. He would be the one to lead his people, the Israelites, out of slavery and into freedom. Not only were their prayers answered concerning Moses, but their other children, Aaron and Miriam, also helped to lead the nation of Israel alongside Moses. Aaron as one of the first priests, and Miriam as a prophetess and a worship leader. Moses' parents were able to be unsung heroes in all of their children's lives because they had the courage to rely on God for the results. Amen. They were faithful to do their part, impart spiritual principles, pray, and model a godly life. Then they left the results up to God. Amen. Am I relying on God for the results, or am I trying to manipulate the results to my expectations? Amram and Jochebed modeled the faith of unsung heroes. Jochebed was a woman so in tune with God that she was able to see an extraordinary vision of her son. That trust in God gave her and Amram the holy courage to defy an evil king's murderous order and stand up for God. They used what they had and released their precious baby to God's hands, not once, but multiple times. And finally, they had the courage to trust God for the results when they let Moses go. They were the unsung heroes of Moses' life. Without them, we probably wouldn't even know the name of Moses, and God would have had to use another person to free Israel from Egypt. And I read the scripture earlier, but these unsung heroes did get a shout out in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Again, it says in verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Parents, your role in your child's life and spiritual life is so important. Yes. Grandparents, your role is still important. Don't ever think that you don't play a part or it's not that big a deal. Even King David acknowledged that his mom and her impact she had in his life. In Psalm 86:16, he said, turn to me and have mercy on me. Show me your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me, I've left out the word, save me because I serve you just as my mother did. I love that line. I serve you just as my mother did. I can say the same in my life. I serve him because of my mother, because of my grandmother. My parents and my grandparents are definitely the unsung heroes in my life. They gave me a strong spiritual foundation that I rely on to this day. Yes. Parents, you set the tone. You start them out on their spiritual journey. Don't delay. It's never too early to start, and it's never too late to start in building a spiritual foundation in your child's life. Start today. Make it a point to say, I'm going to make the choices and decisions to lay a spiritual foundation in my child's life that will launch them to have a relationship with God that will not falter whenever times get hard, that will give them something to stand on that they can always rely on. Make today the choice for your child because they need you to be the unsung hero in their lives. Stand for God and his word. Release them to God and then rely on him for the results. Be an unsung hero in your child's life. Get your capes on. Make the choice. Stand strong and rely on God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand together as we pray. Yes. Let me pray over you that God would give you the wisdom and the grace to be the unsung hero in your child's life, your grandchild's life, your niece, your nephew. Hopefully all of you could take something from this because you all have influence. All of you influence a child in some part of your life. So influence them for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for all of the parents, grandparents, Lord, the aunts and uncles, the teachers, the youth leaders, like all of the people who have an influence over a child, Lord, in this place. God, I just pray that you would give them wisdom, opportunities, Lord God. You would give them the courage, Lord, to stand up for you, God, and for your word, to say we're going to do it God's way. Lord, I pray you give them the courage to release, Lord, their children, Lord, to you, to let you take, Lord, their lives and make something of it, God. And Lord, I pray you give them the courage to rely on you for the results, that they would not, Lord, get their hands in the middle, but Lord, they would let you take over and let you rely on you for the results, Lord God. Lord, thank you for loving our kids so much, Lord God, that you sent your son for them and for us, Lord God. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to be, Lord, the parents, Lord, that are putting a solid foundation, Lord, under their feet, God, so that when they are old, they will not turn away from you, Lord, but they will worship and honor you, God. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom and your grace, your word today. We pray that you would use it for your glory in all of our children and grandchildren's lives and all the children that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer today, our prayer team will be up here. If you have any needs you need to pray for, if you want to pray about this sermon, you're welcome to come up at this time. If not, we'll see you next week. Back to James with Pastor Josh next week. Have a happy Mother's Day. We love you. God bless you.